It was a game where the Red Sox were seeking revenge after the Astros took care of business last time around. But it was the opposite, where the Astros were seeking to get revenge against the Red Sox. For what? I don't know. But the Astros sure did a butt-whooping against the Red Sox. And we'll talk about this and more on this episode of the Locked On Astros podcast. And we'll talk about this and more in a second.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros. Your team every day. Brett, where can they find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and Astros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive. Another win in Boston. Always Stros.
Well, this is the first win in Boston, but we'll go ahead and go with what you said. So today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join us this week. We'll probably do one on Friday or Saturday just to get on the action. Locker Room, it's changing the way we talk sports. And I just love this game. I didn't get to watch a lot of today's game because I was hanging out with my kids on the Riverwalk, and we're just eating ice cream and going to the Iron Cactus. Tomorrow we're going to Six Flags. But we just love doing this little San Antonio trip. But it seems like the Astros love going to Fenway Park, and they took care of business. Framber Valdez was the ace like he was supposed to. But guys, go ahead and subscribe to the Locked On Astros podcast. I don't know if you've heard, but we are on YouTube, and you can go and subscribe, get us up to 500, and help us reach our goal of 1,000, and then we'll keep on going up from there. And you can also listen to the audio version on Odyssey, on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts, listen to Locked On Podcast. And I'm also staying at the Sheraton Gunter. So if you see any like ghost kind of flying around behind me, go ahead and let me know. And we'll have the Locked On Ghost Adventures on this episode of the Locked On Astros podcast.
Yeah,
Brett did not want me to say this, but
anyway, no, it's all good. No, man, we'll spawn a whole new podcast, Locked On Haunted Hotels. Anyways, the Astros had a solid game tonight, and we've already got Steve in here from across the pond already talking about another dominating performance. The Astros win 7-1 off 11 hits. You know, the Red Sox had 6 hits. 5 of those hits, they were all singles off of Valdez. And so it was great to see him to be out there and have his command. And this game started out with a home run in the first inning, but not by Altuve, by Carlos Correa.
Whoa. Altuve doesn't hit leadoff home runs every day?
Not every day. Nope.
Okay.
But Carlos Correa's home run was a little bit controversial. They did a replay. There was not conclusive evidence to overturn it. To me, it looked like it hit the green part of the wall, but they claim it hit the yellow pole that is painted. I don't know if it's painted, if it's a pole on the wall, if it's just painted, but they said it hit the yellow part. It was a fair ball. It was a home run. They only got that one run in the first inning, but it was a great game. Carlos Correa, Eric, was a triple shy of the cycle. He would go on to strike out one more time, but he had a great game, a home run, a double, and a single. And that's what he did in his first 3 at-bats. He really lit it on fire. Yuli Gurriel was the only other Astro to have a multi-hit game. And Kyle Tucker's average is actually up to 257. It crept up to 260 before the game, but he got one hit. But Kyle Tucker has the biggest discrepancy of expected batting average and batting average and expected slugging percentage and actual slugging percentage of anybody on the team. He's hitting like 257, but his expecting batting average is like 710. So, I mean, it's a huge chasm. He just continues to have bad luck. His very last hit of the game, I don't know if you were watching it, he literally hit it to the deepest part of the park in Fenway Park. There are only 2 parks where that ball would have not gone out. They are Fenway Park and Minute Maid Park. He literally hit the deepest part of the ballpark, and Kiki Hernandez actually caught it up against the wall. It was as close as you get to a home run without it actually going over. But he continues to swing a hot bat. You know, I mean, he looked good. Only Altuve, McCormick, who came in late, and Miles Straw didn't get a hit in the game. Altuve did have a couple strikeouts. He let a couple key strikes go, but he was swinging at a lot of low pitches. The umpire was giving him a lot of low pitches today. But Perez came out, and for the second game in a row, Perez was just dominated by this Astros lineup.
Actually, in the last game, he dominated the Astros, I believe. So this was a reversal of the fortunes because he actually dominated the Astros in the last game. So,
He dominated them. It was a tale of two games.
I can't say with my kids in the background. So he B-slapped them last time. The Astros B-slapped him this time. So this was a totally different game.
Right.
But one of the locked on hosts said that if this was the Little League World Series game, that Carlos Correa's home run would not have counted.
So that was a
slap in the face. So.
But you know, that's okay. Yordan Alvarez hit an absolute blast to center field. And his last at bat, Eric, he got a ball. I think it was a slider it was a changeup. And it was in the bottom third of the middle part of the plate, and he just got under it. Had he barreled that ball, he would have hit that second ball further, and he would have had himself a two-home run game. But it was his first home run in 10 games, so it's good to see him get on that train, hit that home run. And Brantley's back in the lineup. You know, Brantley got a double. Brantley was one of three Astros to get a double. Brantley, Tucker, and Correa all got a double in this game. And so that was really good to see. Maldonado added a hit, and he got a couple RBI. So all around, 11 hits, 7 RBI, 10 strikeouts. They did have 7 walks. They saw a lot of pitches. Martin was throwing a lot of 3- and 4th pitch strikes. There was one at bat that Bregman had. He had 11 pitches in the 12th pitch. He just locked Bregman up. The ball, I think Bregman thought was going to drop below the zone, and it stayed in the zone. I think had Bregman swung, he would have laced a double or a triple because it was right in his wheelhouse, and he knew it walking back to the dugout.
This was a much different game than his last one. I'm trying to pull up his last game versus the Astros real quick. But I know in this game, I'll look at that stats real quick. But it was only two innings?
It was 2 innings today. I got it. It was 7.2 innings pitched. He gave up no runs.
Right.
And
four strikeouts, one walk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was definitely a domination in that last game. And this one was just a whole different appearance. So it just shows how pitchers can go from dominating to just just looking like a normal human being. And so that's how he was with the Rangers at the same time. He would just look so good, and then the next appearance he would just look so bad. And Steve says that Blake Taylor looked promising tonight and got the job done. Yeah,
he did.
Him coming back, it really strengthens this bullpen. And he was one of the, I know he his numbers don't look great, but we have to remember what he did last year in 2020, and just remember how strong this guy was coming out of bullpen. And you've got to have arms like that coming out of your bullpen. And so it's just like kind of having like strong people coming into locker room. So let's go and talk a little bit about locker room and what that offers to our fans.
Yeah, so locker room is the perfect place to start and join the conversation about the league. If you joined our locker room conversations, you know firsthand what it's like. If you haven't, just download the locker room app on your iOS device and hang out with us. Look for Eric at Eric Heisman and look for me for at H-Town Wheelhouse. And whenever we go live, turn on notifications on. It'll pop up on your phone. Grab some earbuds, join the conversation, take the stage, and you can be the one kind of not necessarily running the show, but you can be a big part of the show. It's a chance to chat with us. We usually do it Fridays or Saturdays over the weekend when we don't have a podcast. So we want you to join us this week. Be watching for the notification for tomorrow night or Saturday. Go download the free locker room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. You can get not just MLB, but join the NFL, NBA, and NHL group, and all those notifications will pop up. All right, so here's the deal. Every one of our episodes that we do on Locker Room can be heard live all over the world. And if we use it as a bonus episode, you could be published on that next bonus episode and people can hear you all over. You can share it with your friends and family. So come join Locker Room. It's changing the way we talk about sports.
All right. So speaking of that, let's go and talk a little about Lucy.co.
Yeah, Lucy.co is a nicotine company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. And also they have lozenges, cherry ice, citrus, and mint. And it's convenient and discreet. The products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym. They are FSA and HSA eligible, so you can use your FSA cards now to purchase it. It's 2021, so get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, and throw away your dip, and get Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. Locked On MLB Network listeners, go to Lucy.co and use the promo code LOCKEDONMLB to get 20% off all products of your first order, including gum or lozenges. That's Lucy.co and use the promo code LOCKEDONMLB at checkout. And I have to give this disclaimer, warning, the product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
All right, so Dusty Baker on Farmer Valdez, he has a moving fastball. He has an outstanding changeup. He has a wicked breaking ball, learning how to pitch. He's as strong as anybody that we have on team. He's only going to get better. So, yeah, this guy is becoming, I mean, I think he became the ace last year. So this guy is definitely becoming the overall ace. I know Lance McCullers is being paid to be the ace, and he may eventually become the ace. But Framber Valdez, he's only had 3 starts, but he looks dominant.
He's
1.47 ERA.
So he's dominant. And one of the things I have to mention, one of our listeners DM'd me and sent me, he had recorded portions of the radio broadcasts of the Red Sox game. And they were talking about various, they were just talking about cheating the whole time. They were talking about Framber Valdez changing his glove last game, how he went from the red glove to the black glove and how it's convenient. And then they said, well, you know, Altuve got that ball because he was cheating behind second. Oh, I'm sorry. He was positioned. I shouldn't have used the word cheating. And it was like every time they had a chance to mention it, they mentioned it. But I will give him some credit. At one point, they said they've had a bounce back year, this whole team, and they're hitting the ball. And I'm going to caveat this into some stats. And they said they've proven that they're good ball players. And maybe they didn't need to cheat in the first place because they probably could have won without it. The Astros, Eric, get this. The Astros are number one, and they have the widest margin of basically their hitters are last in MLB in strikeouts by a wide margin with 414. They continue to have the fewest Ks as a club in 17, 19, and 20, and second fewest in 2018. The Astros lead the majors in runs, 3,205, team average 265. I could go on and on, but the Astros are 26-16 dating back to April 22nd. They've won 9 of their last 13 game series played to date. Prior to that run, the Astros just won 1 of their first 6 series to start the season. This team has turned it around. When you have Framber Valdez going, and then you also have the pitchers, and I'm going to find this in the last 3 or 4 starts are absolutely killing it. The starters have posted a 2.0.
Except for Urquidy, he struggled.
Right. So Astros starters have posted a 2.47 ERA in their last 11 games. Houston is 7-4 in that span for the season. Last 11 games, a 2.47 ERA. Their starters, for the most part, have been dependable. Where they weren't, they were in that little stretch where they're going 3-4 innings. Now they're going extended innings. And Nolly Paredes came in today, Eric. And he walked his first batter. He got a guy on first and second with no outs. He struck out two batters and induced a pop out. He got out of the inning with two strikeouts. He settled down, and he had JD Martinez, dude. He had a count. I thought JD was going to rock him, and he struck JD Martinez out. It was a phenomenal performance by Paredes. And then, like was mentioned earlier, Blake Taylor. This was a complete team win. When this team is firing on all cylinders, you know, I mean, the sky's the limit with this group. Brantley's back. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I know there's been a lot of comments that we haven't really got to today, but I know that somebody asked, are we still playing with player short? No, Michael Brantley was brought up. We played a player short on Sunday just because they didn't have enough time to activate Michael Brantley, but Michael Brantley was activated. So the Astros are going to play with the players they have. Robel Garcia is already up, and so he's going to be playing on the roster as is. So he'll be the designated utility infielder. Then you're going to have Chaz McCormick being the designated utility outfielder. So they're going to be kind of chunking the here I am a teacher talking about chunking, but they're going to be taking over as the Ledmiz Diaz kind of role. So I don't see them bringing up Jose Siri. I know that Abraham Toro is kind of off to a, I know he's only played what, 7 to 10 games up in AAA coming off his injury, but he is on a little roll right now. So he may eventually get the call over Taylor. What's the guy?
Taylor name? Jones.
Taylor Jones. Yeah, I couldn't think of his name for a second. But Taylor Jones, if Taylor Jones doesn't start hitting consistently, but Taylor Jones isn't really getting a chance to play because Yuli Gurriel is hot, and you know, he only plays first base, and then you have Yordan Alvarez is back, so you don't really have much place for him to play.
Let's camp out on Yuli. He turns, hey Yuli, if you're listening, happy birthday. Wednesday, it is his 37th birthday. Yuli Gurriel, the son of Cuba, baseball royalty extraordinaire, the guy with the great head of lettuce, 12 for his last 18 at bats, batting .667, absolutely continues to murder the strike zone. You throw a ball in the strike zone, Yuli's going to hit it. A dependable defensive glove. Yuli Gurriel should be the starting first baseman in the All-Star game. I said it here first. Yuli Gurriel should be the starting first baseman for the American League. Nobody else is more deserving than Yuli Gurriel. La Pena gang is coming strong. And even though Diaz is out, we've got La Pena, we've got Alvarez. I mean, the sky's the limit with this team. Oakland, don't sleep on us because we're coming for you, buddy. We're coming.
Amber alert.
No, that would be for Mike Fiers. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. My bad.
Stop.
Oh, my bad.
All right.
I saw a ghost. Wait, look behind you. There's a ghost.
Is that one of my kids? Or
no, it's a ghost. You think I'm lying to you? Don't turn around.
Let's call the Ghost Adventures crew. All right. So speaking of which, let's go ahead and talk about, I know a lot of people are saying, well, let's go and extend Yuli Gurriel. I know he's under team control for the next year. He will be 38 at that time. So how many years do you want to extend him?
Sign him till he's 40. No, sign him for another 2-year contract. And then if he's done at 40. No, listen.
So,
if
he's, wait, he's 36 at this time right now. Sorry, I take that back. Yeah, so he'll be 37 next year. So
sign him for two more years.
He'll be 38 as a free agent. So
sign him. Yeah. Sign him till he's 40.
Okay.
If he wants to retire, let him retire. Sign him to a 1-year deal if he doesn't want to retire. Let him be a consultant like Johnny Munoz mentioned on Locker Room the other day. And a lot of people have been voicing this. Make him a consultant so that he is the main recruiter for Cuban baseball players, that Houston continues to be a pipeline. The Astros and the White Sox absolutely own Cuban baseball.
And Johnny, we're not saying Robel is anywhere close to Diaz, but we have no option. Diaz is out for 2 months. There's no choice. And I read somewhere that Jay Kaplan was saying that there is talk that they're going to trade Diaz for a reliever. I'd never heard that, but apparently there's some talk about that just to kind of get a reliever in there. So that's weird, but because he was kind of one of your reliable people out there. So let's pretend we make the World Series. Which National League opponent would you like? I want the Padres or Braves. It would be a fun World Series. Are you crazy?
I don't want the Padres. Did you see what they did to us? Yeah, I would love the Braves because they tend to choke away world championships. I mean, they can win 9 or 10 divisions in a row. Yeah, they can do all the chop they want to. I definitely don't want to play the Dodgers.
Are they still allowed to do that? Or is that?
Well, hey, maybe we play the Dodgers. Hey, maybe we play the Dodgers after all this stuff comes out about sticky substances, you know?
Alrighty. So if everybody wants to know what the ghost talk is, I'm staying at the Sheraton Gunter and it's supposedly haunted. So if there's any ghosts,
who are you going to call? Ghostbusters.
All righty. Speaking about who you're going to call, what if you get hungry? I know my daughter's a little bit hungry. We just went out to eat and I paid a lot of money for it, but she was hungry. And I'm like, well, I didn't bring a Built Bar. So talk about Built Bar real quick, Brett.
Eric, you didn't bring Built Bars on a trip. No. I'm disappointed. Okay, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the land. That's right. We're not just talking about protein bars. We're talking about wrapped in 100% chocolate. Good for you, helps you lose and maintain weight. And let me tell you, they have the flavors, coconut almond. They have cookie dough, which is my absolute favorite. They have this new grasshopper flavor. It's like mint and it's just phenomenal. Salted caramel, double chocolate.
Julia Morales might like it.
Julia, you're right, because she likes to eat grasshoppers. Maybe the only from Seattle though. But there's something for everyone. Basically, what you need to do is you need to go to builtbar.com, and I'll give you the promo code here in a second. So hang on, because let me tell you the details, the deets on these things, as the kids are saying. They have about 17 to 19 grams of protein per bar, about 4 to 5 grams of sugar per bar, about 4 grams of net carbs, and only about 130 to 180 calories. If you get a candy bar where they got real chocolate in it too, like 250, 300 calories, and it's not healthy for you. This 100% chocolate, healthy for you. So go get it. And what you need to do is use a promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your first order. And if you order Built Bar and you don't like it, DM me on Twitter and I'll send you a couple free Stroh's 411 stickers. Because I promise you, you'll just say, hey, I want the stickers anyway, because these bad boys are good. Go to BuiltBar.com and use LOCKED15 as a promo code to get 15% off. Tell them Mace John Wheelhouse sent you.
Alrighty. Speaking of betting, let's go and talk about betonline.ag.
Yeah, if you're not staying in a hotel that has ghosts and you're trying to bet on whether or not you'll see admirations or orbs or past spirits, like dude, if you see Davy Crockett's ghost, please get his autograph. But BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all the sports action. Baseball season is in full swing and you can track all the action on BetOnline. Get the latest news, odds, and info. This is gonna be odd for the audio listeners. Sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Whether Floyd Mayweather's fighting YouTube stars or Mike Tyson's trying to come out of retirement, you can bet on that. You can bet on reality shows. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, though. Give yourself a chance to get in the game and make some cheddar like I did during the Super Bowl. Head to the website now and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus as Eric flashes the ones. Good job, high roller. Bet online. Use a promo code Locked On. They are your online sportsbook experts.
Alrighty, so Pedro Leon, he went ahead and he's been having a kind of off season, and I know that they wrote an article about it, and people have been talking about how he's been struggling. They moved him to shortstop, and a lot of people, when they move to a different position, they really kind of they move to a different position, they struggle. So they moved him back to center field recently, and he had a good game today. He had 2 home runs. Now he's doubled his home run count for the season. So he's up to 4 for the season. So maybe now that he's back in center field, he can feel a little bit more comfortable there. I don't really know what the Astros were doing trying to move him to shortstop. Maybe they're trying to get him to be the heir apparent to Carlos Correa in case he left. But Carlos Correa is
I know what they're doing.
Hey, Carlos, I want to stay here. I'm hitting good right now.
Here's the thing. If they want to move him up and they feel like he can play center field, he needs versatility. I mean, what does Elibnis Diaz do? He is a utility guy. If they can see Pedro Leon's arm, get this, he grades out at an 80, which is above average. So what they're trying to do is get his range down at shortstop, because he has the range to play shortstop, but playing center field and throwing a guy out at home is way different than playing a ball deep in the dirt and throwing across the diamond or trying to turn a double play. That takes chemistry, that takes practice. So shortstop is one of the most difficult positions outside of third base, I think, to play. They all have different levels of why I think they're difficult, but shortstop is tricky because, especially with the shifts, and as many shifts as the Astros play, that's got to be a huge adaptation. So arm strength is definitely a plus, okay? And if he can get up there and he can make a viable option where Carlos Correa gets a rest and you put him at short, I don't think that's a bad idea. I don't necessarily know that it's foreshadowing that they will definitely not sign Correa, but they need to have options. Do I know?
I didn't say that, but yeah.
No, but that's what I think is on a lot of people's minds when I monitor various conversations online. Like, oh, what does that mean about Carlos Correa? I'm like, I don't know that it always means something towards Correa, but after Correa's game tonight, they're like, we need to extend Correa. Everybody's talking about that. Let's keep this guy. And Eric, he made this amazing defensive play. Like, he's what, 6'4", 6'5"? He had just a blazing line drive hit above him, and he literally jumped out of his shoes and got the ball. And they're like, there's not many shortstops that can make that play. Carlos Correa can, and we take his size for granted. And I agreed with Bloomer on that one.
So Dusty Baker, after the game on Yordan Alvarez, he says, I don't care if he hit it just in the front row. Like Hank Aaron used to tell me, it's not how far, it's how many. I'm impressed with how far a guy hits the ball, but I'm also impressed with how often he hits the ball over the fence. I just love the way Dusty Baker talks. He is the
John Madden of baseball.
Yeah, he says something, then he says something filler, then he reinforces what he said earlier. So.
Hey, do us a favor. Paul Valadez brought up a good point. If you're watching the stream right now, hit a like on this episode. Let's see if we can get 26 likes on this episode. I want to up the likes on this I want to see what kind of response we get. One of our listeners actually asked for that, so I'm going to piggyback on that. The Oakland A's do have an easy schedule. I see that. And it says that's why they seem to win more than lose. Yeah, it is kind of. I mean.
But we're going to be going on a little streak of our own pretty soon.
We are, you're right.
We're playing pretty good against these pretty good But teams. I can't say that word with my kids in the room. But just like Chandler Rome says, just wait until next couple weeks when you go on run against the Orioles, the Tigers, the Orioles, the Rangers.
Eric, do you know what our record is against teams that are over 500?
Go ahead and tell me.
20-12.
Awesome sauce.
So, yeah, we won our 20th game.
What's our record against the
500? I don't know. You have to subtract 20 from our total and 12 from our total. Okay, so basically what I think we need to take away from this game are a few things. The pitching was on point. The hitting was phenomenal. Again, this was a team win. I'm going to go ahead and tackle this right here. So Moises asked this question, what do we do about a five-man or a six-man rotation? Man, that is the million-dollar question in Houston. There is a lot to say about having a six-man rotation that has value and has worth. But every one of your five pitchers, once everybody comes back, like Eric said on the last podcast, you have to make sure that guys like Greinke and like that, or your veterans, are okay with it. The younger guys, I think, will be fine.
Am I back?
You're back. Okay, how does Greinke adjust to a six-man rotation is what we're talking about. To me, it makes sense because I'm sorry, Odorizzi, I don't care if we're paying you like a starter. You're going to the bullpen, and you're getting spot starts until we know we can trust you to throw strikes and not give up home runs. I mean, that's the bottom line. I don't care if you're paying them $8 million. There's a lot of $8 million pitchers that are in the bullpen. And if you're not performing like a starting pitcher, you shouldn't take a spot from Garcia. Now, is the six-man rotation would allow Garcia's innings not to creep up as fast? That's another thing we have to think about. He has pitched in limited innings. And
we gotta save the arms for the
exactly.
I know I get yelled at all the time. Well, Eric always talks about the playoffs. Well, the Astros are always in the playoffs
because we are a contender this year, legitimately. like maybe 3 weeks ago, we were like, what are we doing? Oh my God, we were freaking out.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, and I even heard on a local radio station today that everybody's talking, well, how much is Carlos Correa deserving? And there's a lot of, here's Steven talking. John, agree with you. Correa is the best defensive shortstop, but his bat isn't on the level of a $200 million shortstop in league. A lot of people will disagree with you. A lot of people are saying that he's probably going to get around $280 million. Is it going to be from the Astros? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know who signs him. You know, with the guys that we have in house and the amount of free agents that are out there, can you find somebody who is just as good, maybe defensively, but maybe doesn't have a, I don't know, maybe you can't find anyone who has a stronger bat, I don't think.
Gabrielle, she actually is no longer with Locked On. She's with Fansided. But
and she looked good doing it. Well, here's the thing. We are going to bring her back on at some point because she is a friend of the show, and she is one of our favorite Red Sox fans. So just know, if you follow me on Twitter, if I'm slamming Red Sox fans booing, she is definitely left out of any criticism of Boston whatsoever. Nobody should ever shame her on Twitter. I will come find you myself. So she's a good friend of the show.
And also, you can't look at this game today and discount the fact that the Red Sox, one of the top offensive teams in the league, only had 6 hits.
Yeah,
they had 12 strikeouts. They left 21 runners on base. This is just what the Astros pitching staff has done versus this Red Sox. I know game 4 in Houston, that was a different ball game, but you're not going to win every game versus
that's baseball. Yeah. That's baseball. Yeah. You're not going to win every single game. But you know, Eric, they've handled business against them. I mean, they have, and their pitchers have challenged their hitters. They haven't shied away from them. They haven't pitched around them. I mean, they had some of the hottest bats. They're 3, 4, and 5 hitters, Bogarts, Martinez, and Devers. And we've absolutely silenced their bats. And that's what you have to do.
Right. And so I know a lot of people. Oh, yeah. And I like to tease Brett with this. And I'm like, the Astros are going to lose Carlos Correa to the Dodgers, and the Astros are going to end up signing Corey Seager. And he's like,
there's a ghost behind you about to attack you for saying that.
Yeah. So, I mean, but they both have the whole injury history bug. But so I think if the Astros lose Carlos Correa, they'll probably go for a much cheaper option. I know, I think it was you, Brett, that said Brandon Crawford would be somebody you would go after.
Yeah, I mean, he's older, but he's had a good solid 2 or 3 seasons, you know, the last few seasons. And if you have a guy holding a spot for a Pena or a Pedro Leon or someone like that, why not get a guy with major league experience? Why have to rely on someone like Robel Garcia, who, I mean, you know, he's got a walk-off hit. He's a major leaguer, whatever. But, yeah, that's, I mean, Baez, I think, would be asking too much. I don't think his bat is consistent enough. I love his defense. I know he can hit. He has a big bat. Marcus Semien may be pricing himself. People are asking about these players. Marcus Semien may be pricing himself out, but I think he's a little older, like 31, 32. So I don't know how much he prices himself out. Dude, if you could get Semien on a 2-year deal, Eric, and
Baez is out of the Astros price range, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, but I'm just saying, if you can get someone like Semien who's a little bit older than Correa, you know, in his 30s, I mean,
I really think the Astros are going to do everything they can to get Carlos Correa. But let's table this discussion let's get to the Astros stone cold block for tomorrow's game. It's going to be Jake Odorizzi with his 0-3 record and a 7.16 ERA with 17 strikeouts versus Nathan Eovaldi with a 7-2 record with a 3.78 ERA with 65 strikeouts. I'm going to have to go with the Red Sox in this game.
No, sir. Hey, yo, this is Pazinski. Let me tell you, you better bet on Odorizzi because we got the over-under on him on -5. That's right. Go with -5 on Odorizzi. He's only going to give up 1 run. Astros get this win in Beantown. You hear it here, Pazinski, right here. Go sign up.
And
we're having fun tonight, man.
Yeah, the story that's a story that we're never going to see in Houston.
Yeah, he's going to want too much. Yeah, yeah. Dude, the shortstop mark. Now, what may help is the amount of shortstops.
We tabled this.
Come on, man, you got me all worked up.
Table. Okay.
Stop.
Anyway, so I guess that the Astros were probably not favored in tonight's game, so. Maybe miracles can happen tomorrow. Jake Odorizzi goes out there and
you're shredding this guy. Hey, you heard it here. HL Wheelhouse has confidence that Odorizzi is going to turn things around tomorrow. This is going to be the turning point. I'm teaching reading this summer. This is going to be the climax of the story where everything changes for Odorizzi and he goes on a trajectory up.
You're teaching reading?
Well, yeah, weird. Seventh grade. It's awesome, dude. Only 2 to 4 hours I have kids. It's pretty awesome. Shh, don't tell anyone.
So that's all we got for tonight's Locked On Astros podcast. The Astros won the first game. What are they going to do tomorrow? I don't know. But today on the Locked On Today podcast, where do the Bucks go from here? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. And we'll be back tomorrow with the Locked On Astros podcast. Go Astros, and we'll be back tomorrow. And go Astros.